Do you like this here film sack? I know that you do. Do you like it enough to want to say, huh, I wonder if there's a place I can get more of these guys? Well, I know where you can get more, at least two of these guys. Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbett every day, Monday through Thursday, on the morning stream. That's at frogpants.com/TMS. And come on by if you haven't checked it out before. It's a great morning show. It's the kind of morning show you wish you had, but you never have. Well, now you have. So what are you wasting time for? Well, we'll listen to this show. So don't, you know, this isn't a waste of time. But when you're done with this, quit wasting time on other things and go download the morning stream. Again, you can subscribe to all the services you love, get it through all the apps you use, however you get your podcasts, super simple, and of course free, over at frogpants.com/TMS.
Approach, my little one. Don't be afraid. Madame Serena knows all, sees all, tells all. Come.
Actually, I just came to use your phone.
Impossible. I never use a phone. Come. Come.
Nobody's coming to your sweet 16 party, Louise. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Episode 289. I'm Scott Johnson, and I just clicked the wrong link. Hold on a second. Ah, shit. We've lost the page. Hold on. Hang on, everybody. Everything's fine. It's all going to work out.
Damn it.
It's Do you need to write down our name somewhere?
Nope. I found it. Here it goes. I got my little fingers to do. Anyway, hey, look who else is joining me today. It's Randy. I guess he's never seen an undeployed umbrella before, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Brian, if I said I liked this movie, I would be lying. It's a big pile of crap, and the story is whack. It made me want to hate it, so it's time to denigrate it. Film Sack.
All right. Nicely done.
You said
he said he wasn't going
to
rap
first. That was amazing.
That was pretty good. All right, next up we have Brian. We're doing these out of order for a reason, people. Brian, go toward the light, Carol Ann Ibbett.
I'm going to buck the trend here. Class, for your essay, I want you to describe how Louise is a role model for young women. Make sure to include how she uses her power to erase a human being completely from existence, steal sentimental clothing from pop stars, and make an English teacher have to register as a sex offender everywhere he goes for the rest of his life.
Yeah, but he went.
I don't want to talk about all of that so much.
He went into the car wash and came out clean on the other side. Finally, with us, and everyone, hold on to your butts for this. It's Brian, white guy rap battle Dunaway.
Okay. Right, solo rap battle. Scott.
Yeah.
Play that jam I like so much.
All right. Okay, it's starting.
Yeah. Wait, we gotta tune this music in. Hold on a second.
Yeah, we gotta let it catch up.
Yeah, that's the first part. Yeah.
Okay.
Let the beat play. Yeah, I'm liking this.
All right.
This is rock solid. All right. I can't hear my intro. All right, so I'm just gonna rap anyway. Freestyle. I'm glad you're mad. You thought this movie was so bad. It's not. You twat. Teen Wolf for girls is what we got. Hey, the dad. He's rad. He's Dick Sargent from... Hold on a second. Scott, stop the music for a second.
Okay, wait.
Hold on.
All right.
Wait. The dad is Dick Sargent from the 60s TV series Bewitched. So is this supposed to be some kind of Tabitha's story, like as a teenager? Or is this some kind of alternate reality where Darren is in some kind of witchness protection program?
Wow.
Top that.
Wow.
Suck that. You bunch of movie hacks. Yeah.
All right. It was absolutely worth it. The whole thing was worth it.
That was amazing.
Well done.
That would have never, that your conspiracy theory just blew my mind.
Yeah. No, right? I thought
first
thing I thought about was not that she was Tabitha, but that, oh, this isn't the first time you've been the father of a little witch girl.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Witchy lady.
Little witch girl, and you've gone too far.
I didn't know. You guys know, not to bring it down a notch, but he died of AIDS. I didn't know that, or AIDS-related complications. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
What happened? Yeah. Where's Dick York? He died too, right? He's out. Both dicks
dead. But not both dicks are dead. Yeah, but not from the same thing.
Okay, not from the same thing. That would imply the two dicks were getting it.
Hey, you young kids, you don't know about the disappearing mid-season Darrens. That was the first time for a lot of us that we ever had a character switch that just. We're just running right along.
That's I'm glad you brought that up. I think it is the first time for me. I can't think of any other story where a character was swapped out completely without any kind of explanation, and suddenly there's a new guy playing a character.
No, this sounds really familiar to me. There must be other examples.
There's tons of examples.
But what's the first one? Has to be the first. Name a firster one than that. I can't think of one.
I can't think of a firster one. But there was the switching of the Beckys on Roseanne.
Yep.
Right.
There was the switching of the roadies in Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. Sarah Chalk? Yeah.
Oh, the Iron Man roadie switches. That's a good one. That's a newer, that's a more contemporary.
It's a newer, and the Banner switches, too.
Right? There was that. True. You had, but those were like.
Intentional?
Well, everything around them changed, too. Like the Bruce Banners would swap out per movie. But there was nobody else in the movies that was consistent. Well, I guess until recently, because you got Colonel, what's his name, in the.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go with you on the. Nick Fury appears at the end of the actual MCU Hulk movie, not the Eric Banana version.
I thought it was at the end of Iron Man 1. He shows up at the end of Hulk movie? I don't remember.
Yes, he shows up at the end of the Ed Norton.
Hulk. Okay. No, I think that one counts then. That totally counts.
Absolutely, it counts. I've regularly argued that it's among my favorite MCU movies.
I would love
for David Hasselhoff just to pop up as Nick Fury one time, just to mess with everybody, like at the end of Deadpool or something. That would have been fun.
Earth 2, Nick Fury. Right?
Did you guys hear that Hasselhoff is broke, like dead broke?
No,
I've always assumed he was broke. I assumed he spent every dollar he got as soon as he got it. Is that not how that works?
That is making the rounds in the back pages here in Hollywood that Hasselhoff told someone that he had assets totaling like in the low thousands of dollars. Like he has $2,000 to his name or something.
What happened there? He's got some things. He's occasionally in like a SpongeBob movie or something. Like he's got stuff, right?
One would think that there have been celebrities before, right, who had tons and tons of residuals that they just gave away. They signed over to some agent or something.
Yeah.
But yeah. Like, how could you claim to be destitute when you've done so much that pays you for the rest of your life?
Yeah, and it's
no
a lot
kidding. Because a lot of the stuff that's syndicated is still being shown. He's got to be getting money from
Baywatch money alone.
Baywatch money, exactly.
And this Baywatch, I don't know if he gets any money out of the Baywatch movie, but he's in it. He's a cameo. Maybe they don't pay for that anymore. I don't know.
Listen,
man.
If you want some quick money, he needs to be do a Carl's Jr. commercial or something. Something where he's eating a cheeseburger shirtless on the floor.
Oh.
I get the impression that commercials don't pay except a few. Like there's like a super steep pyramid. And generally speaking, if you're in a commercial, you're not getting any money. Unless you're Eva Longoria, in which case you're getting like $5 million.
Well, it depends on what you mean by no money, but yeah, they all get paid. I mean, they got, you know, I did voiceover for GE web video spots and I got paid. It wasn't like Eva Longoria money, but you get paid. Like if he's down to thousands, he's probably just been terrible with his money or something has happened there.
The MC hammered it.
Yeah.
The MC should have
kept the kit
right on out of there.
Should have kept he should have kept the kit car, man. You sell that for some real money.
Unbreak my heart at it.
All right. Turns out Hasselhoff's got nothing to do with Teen Witch. So we're going to talk about Teen Witch now.
Sorry.
No, it's totally fine. He's great. He shares a birthday with me, and I hope everything works out for him soon.
He does. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's July 17th. Every time my birthday comes around, everyone thinks, oh, it's Scott's birthday. But I think, no, it's the Hasselhoff's birthday today.
Mm-hmm.
And this year might be a little lean, it sounds like. So good luck to you, David.
Celebrate the Hoff.
Don't expect anything from Hoff this year.
Well, just get like one of those $1.50 burgers for the floor. He'll be fine. It won't be any big deal.
Floor.
So it's a Teen Witch Day. It's finally come here. It's finally happened where people have been asking for it for a long time. Some of us had never even heard of it. I had heard of it but never seen it. Has anyone seen it before?
No.
Okay, because this wasn't...
seen parts of it.
This was never for us, right? Like, this movie was not for us. In fact, Brian, you kind of hinted at the top of the show that it was kind of for... You know, girls, it was girls to get their Teen Wolf on.
Can I stop your momentum right here now?
Yes, yeah.
I am fascinated by the subject of who the audience is, like what something is made for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the reason I am is because I've never known anyone in entertainment who has set out to say, we don't want the biggest audience possible. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're making, if you're recording a song, if you're drawing a painting, everybody wants everybody to like their stuff, but we all agree that there are niche audiences for niche pieces of entertainment, right? Like,
well, yeah. So the people who wrote 50 Shades of Grey did not have much success in the hetero male audience is kind of my point. Right. Like they may fully intend to just make the thing they're passionate for, but as it turns out, it attracts a very specific subset of an audience.
Magic Mike, not really made for the dudes.
Yeah, I don't think Magic Mike's for me so much.
So it's
except we're each getting a copy of it.
Exactly. Yeah. We got four copies coming in hot.
That's true.
Channing Tatum hot.
Yeah.
For me, it's impossible to unassociate this movie from Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Mm. It's just
interesting.
It's just
is
all
it because
over.
They're both got witches in them?
Well, so they're both teenagers, yeah. And
it's right there in the title.
I have seen Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I've seen every episode maybe three times. Like, it's just one. It's a show that came along and entered my life at the right time, and then it just keeps happening in my life every few years.
What year was
watching.
That?
'90s, early '90s, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna say '95.
Yeah, early to mid.
We're really lucky with Teen Witch because this is one of those cult movies that has so much information about it on the internet. And we know that this movie was made, was funded by Transworld, who wanted to basically get this on straight to DVD as quick as possible. But we also know that Disney...
DVD? VHS?
Yeah, VHS, yeah. They wanted to get it straight to video.
Yeah.
And but we know that Disney was interested in this movie and they wanted to get involved with that, and so that's what happened. They were interested in this movie and somebody dropped the ball and it didn't get made with Disney, and of course you've seen what happened. We got Sabrina the Teenage Witch, so it could have been a very different world.
Randy's comparison is probably a keen in comparison because maybe that's the fallout. Right, well, I mean, remember though that Sabrina the Teenage Witch is a comic book character from the Archie universe,
right?
So
right.
So she.
They were looking for a property that already existed. Disney was
sure. But I would just want to drag us all back to the topic. When I say to you, I've seen Sabrina the Teenage Witch. The first thing you ought to think is, well, that wasn't made for him.
You're right, and you're an outlier, is what I'm saying.
You should have been like right out of high school, right?
And the fact is, it was made for me. It's dripping with things I like. Comic acting like Caroline Rea and Beth Broderick. It's got Martin Mull, one of my favorite comedians of all time. Penn Jillette keeps showing up in this show and mugging and doing funny things. Like,
is he the Paul Lynde of Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
That's a very very apt comparison. Holy shit.
I have to assume that Penn Jillette is the crazy uncle or something that just pops in.
There's a witch universe, like an alternate reality that witches can go to, and Penn Jillette is like the president of the witches.
Oh, yeah. Great!
He's like the Supreme Court. He's the president and Congress.
Mm. What this does is it just proves you're an outlier. That it's made. Right. It's mostly made, or mostly appeals to a very broad, younger teenage girl demographic, but you're an outlier in that demographic. You found a way.
Watching each episode once would make him an outlier.
Right. Like I'm not supposed to like...
Makes him so three weird. Times.
No, it may, when he watches it three times, that makes him an extreme outlier. Like even more of an outlier.
But hold on. Now you're ticking off a different subject completely. And that is, once you've seen something and especially a TV series where you have to commit 100 hours to seeing it or something. Once you've seen something, it's way easier to watch it again. You know, like for people who've watched Seinfeld over and over, like I've talked to people who've watched Seinfeld over and over and don't think it's that great. But for whatever reason, once you're invested in it, you can just keep going.
Yeah, but also I could. So here's an example. Quake 2 was not made for 85-year-old ladies. But somewhere, someplace, there was an 85-year-old lady who really got into the frag fest that was Quake 2.
Yes.
She's an outlier. That's just all, it's as simple as that. Like, I don't begrudge it at all. I think that's great. I watched most of that freaking piece of shit, what's it called? Jersey Shore. I couldn't stop watching it. I'm not the intended audience. I'm sure of it. But yet there I was.
You're sure of it. That was sure great. Thank you.
Sure of it, yeah. And I just kept it up and kept it up. And I would even feel bad about it after. I'd be like, ugh, what am I doing with my life? This is awful. And I'd have to watch it again. But I'm under no illusions that I was, you know, there was some giant silent group of men like me who are
the flip side of this little issue is when people think that because they like something and their spouse likes it and their, you know, their best friend likes it, that it must be for everybody.
Right.
And that's a worse fallacy in my opinion, because there's people going around right now trying to convince grandma to watch Game of Thrones and it's not for her.
Yeah, it's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. Although maybe grandma's an outlier, you never know. She might see that scene where the red lady takes off the necklace and goes, "Now this is my kind of program.
I can relate to her. Where do I get one of those necklaces?
I have to tuck my boobs in as well." Yes, Brian.
Whoops! There goes my socks. So I'm with Randy, and I thought the same thing too. I was trying to figure out why didn't any of us see this movie during the time, and I started doing the math, and I was like, okay, it was released 89. It starred people who were 15 and 16, who were essentially our age or a little bit younger. So
did it though? Because the main girl's not. The main girl's like
she was 15 at the time. And I was around, I guess I was about 16, 17 myself. And so,
I was 18,
yeah,
19.
I think it was, it's kind of like 17 magazine. No 17-year-old purchases 17 magazine. It's really made for 13 and 14-year-olds who desire to be like the 17-year-olds, the cool kids.
Well, then
and that's kind of where all this
I'm
is
I'm suddenly
from.
Very uncomfortable then, because if Robin Lively was only 15 at the time, boy,
you should feel
bad. They sure dress her up in some skanky freaking
It is. Yes, they do. And you say that, but her mom made a lot of that stuff.
Okay, she was born in 72, so she's 2 years younger than I am. She's 2.5 years.
You should have felt uncomfortable. You should have especially felt uncomfortable in that hobo abandoned house that they were making love in, where I'm pretty sure somebody got tetanus. That's what you really should have felt uncomfortable.
Okay. I want to talk about the fidelity of the cinematography of this thing, because when you start watching this movie and you realize, oh well, okay, so she's like a 16 or 17 year old actually playing a 16 or 17 year old, and then over here we have, oh look at that 35 year old walking down the hallway in the high school, he must be a teacher, oh no, he's a student. You have that experience, right? That's actually a tropey experience. It's not necessarily a trope, but when you have that experience, it can really frustrate you, right? It can take you out of the movie that there are all these older people playing teenagers. I decided to test this on other things. So I browsed around and I found other teenage set stuff. And I could not believe how bad it all looks.
Well, tell me 90210 is one of the things that you
yes,
put in that
absolutely.
List.
Yeah. And you know what else is streaming on Hulu Plus right now? My So-Called Life.
Oh,
I defy you to watch My So-Called Life. It is in like 200 lines of resolution. You can't make out expressions. It looks so bad. And really? And it got me thinking, well shit, people used to proof these shots and go, that looks fine, because they couldn't tell. It's so blurry. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't tell that people are actually in their 30s that are playing teenagers.
Yeah,
absolutely. And they tried to do an okay job from all the stuff. I mean, man, if you want to find out about anything about Teen Witch, there is so much trivia. I mean, they got to talk to all the actors and producers and everybody loves the fact that this movie became so much more than it was, and they are so happy to tell the story. And so there's so much information about this movie on the internet.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's weird how, yeah, it's definitely got this, but how much of that, okay, this is a serious question, even though it's about a very unserious topic, but how much of its popularity and its zeitgeist is due to those three rapping dudes? Do you know what I
almost,
mean?
Almost everything that you think? It's kind of like Bill Cosby and the rape allegations. They were nothing until Hannibal Buress said something about it, and then it just blew up. And the same thing, the internet and rap battles, specifically white dudes rapping, this is such a direct line right back to the late 80s. And so it brings it to
it's the whole thing. I swear there's nobody cares about this. It's a long forgotten relic without those three rapping guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like those guys, they are so
they
leave
it.
Such a stain on the film that you can't ignore it.
And you know what's funny about that? The thing that I think most stands out to us as viewers was something that was added post, because when they originally they didn't have these rap songs at all, but they suddenly found out that the movie was had a lot of interest in it. And when they found that out, they went back and they said, what how can we extend the movie and make big scenes? And Weir said, let's add some rap.
How do we reach these kids? They're thinking.
How do we reach these kids? And they added that part. So it came very later, much later on in the movie, and it changed the dynamic.
The fact of my only viewing of this film ever, it will always be that I watched for an hour going, oh my God, I hate this. Oh my God, I hate this.
Really?
And then I got to the rap battle in the street. And went, this is the best thing in the movie. This is worth, it's worth watching the other hour and a half to see this.
That's pretty glorious.
So, I mean, of course we're focused on it. It's the best thing in the movie.
Yeah. It is. And it's the reason, you know, it's the thing everyone thinks of when they think of this movie. It's the thing that people, when I said what we were watching on Twitter, people would write back and go, oh, the rapping white guys, you know, they immediately connected with that. So that is its legacy, is these
That's
three
the thing,
dopey rapping guys.
With something that predominant and that everybody thinks of when they think of this movie, how did we not at least see that before now?
I don't know.
Right?
It's
like,
weird.
How did that not circulate on the internet with people doing?
Well, you know, we were, once again, we weren't the target of that. I mean, did you guys listen to Marky Mark?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes.
I was aware of it, but it wasn't like I was, I didn't like have the tape or nothing. I was aware of his awfulness. And that it existed, but that was about it.
I mean, I heard it on the radio and stuff, but I think, okay, so part of this could be there's a little bit of a switchover happening here. So I at least can, from a time perspective, I think you and I, Ibbett, were like 19 or 20. We were just turning 20 around now. And I think we were like, this would not have been on our radar at all. Like the last thing we're thinking about is this. We're thinking about college and we're thinking about, you know, phew, out of high school finally, and I got to get out of my parents' house. You know, we're having all that going on. And I think that the last thing on my mind would have been, I'm going to go check out this sweet new movie with this girl who's a witch in it. Like, it would have been the last thing on my radar. So for me, I think it was just a transitional thing.
Well, we were thinking about Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. We were thinking about Back to the Future 2. We were thinking about The Abyss, Ghostbusters 2.
Good movies.
Lethal Weapon 2. Right, exactly.
Like in our wheelhouse stuff. And also part of that is, again, we're in that age transition where those things matter to us. So we're taking time out of whatever our busy, crazy world is to do those things because they feel like marquee moments. Teen Witch would not have felt like that to me.
Most people were exposed to this in their childhood, probably closer to the early 90s, because there wasn't a lot of viewing at the theater. This was very limited release in the theater, only like 7 days. The major exposure was on Disney during the early 90s.
Are you saying that this thing was only in theaters for a week?
For like a week. But that's all they had to do. It was like a week to 11 days, I think, or something that they had to have it in a theater at least that long before they could market it worldwide and send it to video.
But then it ends up on the Disney Channel.
Just decide, all right, we're cutting our losses. Let's
exactly. If you saw us at the theater, you were probably one of very few people that did.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because Okay, so first of all, I'm a little taken aback by your vast knowledge of this film. I'm a little freaked out by that. And in fact, I have to say, just behind the scenes here a little bit, Brian Dunaway has easily been the most vocal and the most like constantly chattery about this movie all week long as we've gotten closer. Actually, for the 2 weeks since we've had a show. And I find that really interesting for some reason that you are so all up in this. And I'm not saying that you're like this giant diehard fan, but your knowledge of this has exceeded maybe all other film SAG movies combined. Like, it's crazy. It might have.
And the reason why I think is because there's such an abundant amount of information on the internet about it. I just went down that rabbit hole, man. I was just like, oh, I got more stuff I can read. Oh, Robin Lively. I didn't know she was like a Ryan Reynolds' brother. And that's her brother-in-law. And she sang a song at his wedding and just, you know, it was like,
oh, she's Blake Lively's sibling or something.
Not sibling, but she's he's an in-law to her.
Oh, so she's Blake Lively's mom. Is that right?
No, Blake Lively.
Oh, here it is. Older half sister to Eric Lively and Blake Lively. Okay.
Right. Hmm. Right.
Older half sister.
By the way, she is really good in stuff now. Like she's fine in this too, but she went on to work hard. Like she's got a big resume and is in all kinds of things and good in everything I've ever seen her in. I never connected that she was this teen witch I'd always heard about. And I really like her. I think she's cool. She is a striking redheaded woman in her 40s. Just beautiful lady. And yes, congrats to her.
That has to be the sickest family get together with all those super attractive people. I mean, just every one of them is just like stupid attractive. And it's like, oh God, I'd hate to be there. It'd be like, oh
yeah,
I can't compete with this.
Well, in that school, whatever. I mean, this movie was so like 89 was like this receptacle for all the shitty shit that was the 80s. And it just held on to it. Like this movie was like a weird, like mesh filter that's at the end of a pipe where you're trying to trying to filter out the water and all the crap and dead raccoons and stuff get all gummed up in the filter. This is like the 80s equivalent of that, where like all the bad hair, all the stupid clothes, like let's keep this
neon
decade in
shoulder
here.
Pads.
Yeah, and the music, and like let's just make sure that none of the 80s gets out in 89. We want to keep it all in.
You're right. You're right. Yeah.
That's
it's
a
like,
great description. Yeah.
That is a perfect description because we're right on the cusp. I've never let's see. The 70s kind of bled all the way into the mid 80s for the most part. But what we think about the 80s is usually from like 83 to about 89. And then like 1990 hits and we just like flip. There's such a counterculture that just goes, nope.
Yeah.
It
changed real quick. I want to say, but even then, like, you know, you still had your hair bands hanging around until about 93 or 94. And then grunge took over.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was pretty much it. But all the things that made your movies look quintessentially 80s is all on display here. All of it.
Yeah.
Like even the tropes and stereotypes, those parents of hers, just like mindless drones that just sit around all day and find dolls to put in the dish or in the clothes washer. like just this kind of, oh, honey, we understand. You look so pretty. And just such that dumb doughhead parent thing that's all up in this, in the music.
Let's have a trope alert on it.
Yeah, it deserves one. Yeah, dude.
It's one of our very first tropes we ever identified in Film Sack was the parents are so stupid trope.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a perfect example.
Yeah, and they're sweet and they're nice and they're well intentioned in this. It's not like they're foils so much as they are. They're this anchoring force for her. She loves her parents and she's happy to come home to them. We'll talk about her brother in a minute, but
can you imagine your child suddenly having any supernatural behaviors and you not noticing?
I know. It seems a little weird.
That's the reason why Dick
weird.
York was always up. It was a Dick. No, I'm sorry. Dick Sargent. Dick Sargent was always up in her room going, did you develop the witch powers yet? Did you?
different Dick.
Don't tell your mom. Right. Totally different Dick.
Yeah, totally different Dick. Different Dick.
But yeah, I tried to. Once again, sometimes my mind goes to these places when I'm watching movies that only have so much to offer. Sometimes I start looking for things that aren't there. And I kept finding that there was some kind of weird relationship between her and her mom because they were the only ones that were distant. She had two other surrogate moms that she went to, never took any mom's advice. So their relationship was kind of rocky.
Oh, weird. Yeah, I didn't think of that. That's true.
But the dad was constantly coming in and talking to her and stuff. But
there's some great trivia about the little short, fat lady from
From Poltergeist.
Poltergeist.
Zelda Rubinstein. Yeah.
Yeah, Zelda Rubinstein. That when she was sitting on her lap, there's some trivia about how she had horrible breath, like the worst possible breath, and they had to keep retaking it because Robin Lively was like gagging and kind of losing it.
Oh, that is too
funny. That's an amazing story.
Has been eating with sardines. Yeah.
And you know what I forgot about? I totally forgot about this.
Teen Witch. Louise is not very popular at her high school. Then she learns she's descended from witches of Salem and has inherited their powers. At first, she uses them to get back at the girls and teachers who teased her and to win the heart of the handsome footballer's captain. That's what it says, right? It's like I don't know a sports ball. But soon she doubts if it's right to cheat her way to popularity.
There you go.
I actually got to watch him record that live via Periscope.
Oh, how fun.
He's been doing that. It's so fun.
It is so great.
We should let people know. Listen, just follow Scott Fletcher on Twitter. He's Mr. Scott Fletcher or Mrs. Cott Fletcher, however you prefer to say it. And he does our readings and various other things live on Periscope. It's always really fun to watch. I'm glad you brought that up. Anyway, all right, back to the thing. I couldn't not play that.
Oh, yeah, you had to, and that was beautiful.
Here's some other trivia. The creepy house Louise Miller walks into at the start of the movie, where she found the little short lady, is the same house used by Michael Jackson in 82 for the music video Thriller. So that's the Thriller house.
There's a big Thriller connection here because that, and when this movie, that's right, I internet the crap out of this thing. When it was released in Israel, they changed the music up to Michael Jackson's Thriller soundtrack.
Oh, did they really? Oh, weird.
Yeah, weird.
I didn't know that. See, look at you.
I'd like to see that.
Look at you with all these weird tidbits. This is amazing.
Right? Dropping Teen Witch knowledge bombs on us is what you're doing.
The B in IMDb stands for Brian now, man.
Right?
And the D, too.
His D is Dunaway. Dunaway Brian. Internet movie Dunaway Brian.
I got this. The Teen Witch.
It was originally, so Brian had suggested, or we have been talking about the idea that it was maybe intended to be a female version of Teen Wolf in 85, and it went as far as to borrow the design of the lettering, so that font is straight up comparable. The tagline and the shell of the plot line roughly is kind of exactly the same. I mean, this is Teen Wolf with a lady and witch powers, and the only big difference is she doesn't turn into a witch at the worst moments of her life. Like, it's not like she's playing basketball. Oh, shit, I'm being a witch now. It doesn't turn out like that.
And there's not a guy flipped his wiener out in the
bleachers. I was going to say, there's no bleacher wiener, exactly.
Right. There's no styles in this movie. There was a reference to pot, but, well, I guess maybe the little brother. Can we talk about the little brother for a minute?
Yeah,
I want to talk about him.
I'm pretty sure he's an alien.
Oh, my gosh. Joshua Miller, right?
I think he's an alien, but go ahead. You tell me your take on Joshua
Miller. He had such a unique look and just weirdness. I mean we had a lot of, we used to like to throw weird characters in 80s movies. That was always real popular. Anytime you had a romantic movie or anything during the 80s, you would throw in some weird character, and this was that weird character. From all the way from our introduction of him under his sister's bed eating some kind of cake from a bakery and reading her it was weird.
It's really weird. Yeah, he's like beyond we had that 80s stereotype for a while of the goofy friend, like the vampire one that we saw with Skippy or whatever the kid's name is, the buddy that turns into a vampire as well. Fright Night, that's exactly it. Yes, I don't think it was Skippy either, but something like
Scampy.
But he's like, and we also had the trope of the precocious little brother or little sister that is smarter than the parents and that sort of thing. This Joshua Miller like joins those two, and it's horrific.
Yeah, it really is.
And you know, I also went down part of the rabbit hole, and I found this wonderful interview with Josh Miller from, it was in Vice. Go to vice.com and search Joshua Miller. And this is about 3 years ago. I didn't realize he's like part of this society of B actor people. Like, he's got all these connections in every direction to, people like John Waters and, like his big story about coming to accept Teen Witch, 'cause he hated it for decades.
Yeah.
His big story about coming to accept it is via a drag queen in San Francisco named Peaches Christ, who took him to see a screening of it in like the early 2000s and told him he needed to get over it.
Wow, that's very interesting. It sounds like the Shatner thing where he finally comes to grips with being Captain Kirk and accepting the fact that he's never going to be, you know, you're not going to be known for much else there, Shatner. So just embrace the damn thing.
Yeah, it comes from having never getting a phone call to being in a secret society.
Yeah.
Never getting a phone call is somebody else's decision, then being in the secret society is yours. He's also the younger half brother of Jason Patrick from Lost Boys.
What? Wait, Jason Patrick. Oh, really? Yeah. Well, one of the kids got hit with the ugly stick.
Maggots, Michael.
Yeah, no, he's, you know what that makes him? That makes him the Randy Quaid of the Dennis Quaid, Randy Quaid brothers.
It does. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
While we're talking about that weird trivia, my favorite is that Robin Lively's sister married Ryan Reynolds, right? So Blake Lively married Ryan Reynolds a few years ago. And apparently, Robin Lively and what's his name? Her brother got together and decided to do that last thing, that last music bit from Teen Witch at Blake Lively's wedding reception.
Oh,
right?
Amazing.
So Robin Lively gets all the gear together to look like she did in Teen Witch. And then goes to this wedding reception and does the dance of that Finest Hour song at this reception. Okay, now, that was in 2012. So that sounds great. Now it's 2016, and I can't help but imagine Ryan freaking Reynolds as Deadpool in his own wedding reception, just staring at these middle-aged people doing a Teen Witch dance.
Wait, who did she marry? I thought she married Leonardo DiCaprio. Am I getting that wrong? I know they dated. I'm not up on
Blake Lively.
Yeah, wasn't that I thought she.
She's not married to him now. If she ever did, that's a good question. I didn't go that far down the rabbit hole.
Because for a long time, those two were bumping uglies. Well, bumping.
I haven't heard that since the '80s.
Bumping attractive, famous uglies.
Leonardo DiCaprio and Blake Lively don't have uglies.
Well, I don't know about Leo these days, but sure.
Blake Lively and Leonardo DiCaprio, they dated for like 5 months. It was not.
I do love, you know what, by the way, Dunaway just brought up a trope that is the circulating just kind of under the surface of like the film enthusiast crowd, which I love and hope continues forever, which is just the assumption that that bear attack actually took place and anything after that movie for Leo DiCaprio is him doing great. Oh man, look at him, all recovered from his horrible.
I'm so glad he was
able to pull himself back together.
Oh, I love that. I don't know why that is so funny to me, but I freaking love it. All right,
it was
we have a big fat chick in the bucket, by the way.
Yeah.
That's today's flash in the chick in the bucket. Robin makes her date David disappear, and he never comes back through the entire film. So
you
that
mean
weird,
the late 80s hipster?
The nerd freaking J.J. Abrams looking nerd.
Sleazeball nerd. Yeah, it's almost like, again, you know, well, we don't know which trope to go with. Should we go with the sleazeball or the nerd? Oh, let's just mash them up together and he'll just vacillate between the two as we need him to.
Yeah, and there'll never be resolution. He never, ever talked about, comes back. Like, forget about all this, like, oh, I don't know if I want to be a witch. This is hard. But I guess I've destroyed the entire life of some kid and his family because he'll never come back.
It would have been great if later on in the movie we saw like a milk carton with his face on it.
There was some kind of dialogue where they talked about him like the next day, but I don't know. I didn't quite catch it. I'm like, are they suggesting
did they say something?
He came back. There was a little bit of dialogue, but they didn't really, I don't know if they missed some of it or what, but I didn't quite understand. But they were talking about him, but they didn't really say where he went to
I
or
missed
what
that.
Happened.
Dang it. I would have capped that because
he got there was an apology issued by his friend, but there was really no resolution there. You're right. He was a chicken bucket. He was gone. The only thing that was left to him was those tortoiseshell glasses.
And you forget.
It was a dick in a car.
Right.
I need to figure that dick in a. In a
dick in a coupe. Bucket.
I don't know.
Dick in a bucket. There you go.
Yeah. Dick in a bucket.
Nerd in a bucket.
He really, and I mean, that guy was really focused on getting a blowjob.
Oh, he was focused on nothing but. That's his whole job in the movie. Yeah.
But I kept going, condom, condom, condom.
London bit was great with the teacher.
The teacher explaining safe sex.
Oh yeah, that was good. And they're all chanting condom.
I couldn't decide if I thought the students were absolute idiots or if this was some sort of manifestation of Louise's witch powers or...
Oh, please don't give it that much credit.
Yeah, it was too early.
Okay. Right? All right. Well, hold on. Let me ask you this. So the I Like Boys first act in the musical, right?
Yeah.
You capture that?
Oh, the girls doing the... Right. I missed... I didn't cap it. It was stupid. I hated it.
So are we supposed to understand... So what's going on? Because Louise doesn't look at all like surprised by this. She's sitting in her locker trying to get her stuff and she just keeps looking over like, all right, well, this is something that happens every day in the cheerleading locker room. Is this a manifestation of her powers or are they performing for her? Because they're looking right at her the whole time.
No. Someone in the planning stages of making this movie said, we got to grease this up. This movie needs to be half grease.
It was the director who decided that. He got the script and he said he ripped some pages out and stuck in some musical numbers and talked him into doing it.
Wow. Listen to me. I never knew one girl in the cheerleading squad or in the any of those dance team things that did anything like this ever. Ever just dropped everything and said, you guys, I've got new lyrics for the song we're going to do.
Let's perform this in the locker room.
Ugh. Now, I even grew up in a part of the world where people would get together on the weekends in someone's garage and learn a line dance together, because that's the only way you can go line dancing, is to practice with your neighbors.
Oh, my Lord.
And I I considered that a thing that adults did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's just no way. This is insane.
I mean, it was absolutely. I mean, this movie really flirted the line of being a musical. I mean, it was just right there. But
don't you wish it would have just gone full in? I mean, that's what the Groundlings did with it. Right. The Groundlings took it and said, you know what, we're going to go goofy with this and make it a full musical. And that's what they did. But I feel like the movie was just so hesitant to embrace it.
Right.
And that's the thing, right? Because if they could have gone full musical with this, or if somebody could do more musical parts to this, this would easily be something you'd see on... You know, those kind of off-Broadway jokey versions of things like Producers on Broadway. And
there is that, you know, that there is a musical, right? You know, there's a Teen Witch musical.
Well, yeah, but it's not the Groundlings thing though, right?
It's the Groundlings thing.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what we're talking
about. So you got to go to like some theater and sit down and watch it. Basically, it's not a movie. Well, there's talk of a remake, by the way.
This with people.
The what now? Say it again.
I would go to the theater, watch this with people. I would like to go to my local theater on the 30th anniversary, what would it be?
Kind of like a Rocky Horror cult night thing.
Sure. Yeah. Troll 2 kind of thing. Sure.
Everybody up in the aisles singing I Like Boys. It'd be...
I will promise you that has happened at the Alamo Draft House for a decade now.
They must have. This is so up their wheelhouse. They have to have done that. They've done it with Troll 2 and all the other stuff. Why not this?
Oh, yeah. I saw the funniest movie I've ever seen was Showgirls at the Alamo Draft House with David Schmader sitting with a microphone in the audience talking throughout the entire movie. It was I was dying. And I like this movie would be perfect for that. Perfect. Yeah,
if they haven't already done it. By the way, a side note to the whole Zelda sitting on her lap and had horrible breath and she couldn't keep a straight face. The reason people know this is there was a Q&A session after a screening. So a personal appearance at a screening, Robin Lively talked about the movie and said, oh, yeah, that scene where she's on my lap, man, she had the worst breath and this and this. She didn't know that Zelda was in the audience at the same screening.
Oh, God.
It would make you kind of feel bad. Like,
and that's why her career never went anywhere.
Well, that little ball.
She was skunked.
Yeah, she was skunked. Very nice.
Walk towards the certs, Carol Ann.
Walk toward the Retson. all right, what else is there? So I got a question for Brian Nibbett. I got real quick.
All right.
Is there a term for that fake 80s music everyone uses when they don't use licensed stuff? You know,
it's called shit.
I thought it was shit. I knew it.
Shit gratifting.
Yeah, I can't think of, I don't think there's like a, I mean, it's basically just stock music that we have the royalties for, you know, it's royalty free clip art.
Right. I'm calling it
Mr. Pibb.
It's so bad. Yeah, it is like Mr. Pibb songs. There you go. That's not bad.
It is so bad.
It's garbage. And the whole time I just kept thinking, why is not one of these songs just pay for one, like one use.
They only had like 1.25 million to make this movie. They couldn't afford to buy a Vanilla Ice song at this point. I mean, that's true. It was bad.
No, but they did hire whatever this band is to do all of the, not just the, I think they do the score stuff too, or the 80s music score stuff. But then they also did all the writing of these dropped in set piece music bits.
Even the rap one? Bits. The rappy one?
Probably.
Yeah. So was the band, was the girl on stage, was I supposed to know who that was? They gave her the jacket?
No, the pop star. Okay. The pop starlet.
Yeah, the starlet. The starlet.
No, that's Kathy Carr, I believe. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I take that back. That's Cindy Valentine Leone.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I went down that rabbit hole, too.
Who is
she? Yeah, I had to look and see. Are these really people? But so Larry Weir.
Are these really people? That's my favorite
thing. Really
people.
Yeah. Never did anything other than this. They had to be like friends of the director or something. But
All right.
Well, no, like Cindy Valentine Leone was like married to the director or something like that.
Well, there we go.
I'm losing the thread. I've got it here somewhere.
She's lovely.
And she was in so many of these D-list movies. She wasn't just, you know, a one-stop wonder right. for this
she's
movie.
Mannequin 2.
She's not just a one D-list hit. Heck no. Multi-D. Well,
and the weird thing about this is, you know, she's pop star. She was like 14. When they made this movie.
Cindy
Leone.
This whole movie was like calling in a favor. Everybody was calling in favors. They were just, that's one of the things I think that shines through in this movie is the enthusiasm. Everybody's got this great enthusiasm for this movie and everybody just put in, I think everybody put in 100%. Whether they should have put in 100% don't matter. They put in 100% all the way through this movie. I mean, from especially the locations and stuff, the locations are freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Even if it is weird that they're having sex in this abandoned house, the location visually is an amazing shot. And the
By the way,
and everything.
In the history of teenagers having sex, never once have they entered a room and then stood 8 feet apart and just stared at each other longingly.
Man, I hate your life, Randy. You didn't do that. We did it.
Oh my God! When they stopped,
suspense, right?
When they stopped and stared at each other, I thought, "What do they smell? What are they hearing that I can't hear?"
Yeah,
it was so bizarre.
It is bizarre. I don't feel like they really had their finger on the pulse of what was actually a teenager then. I mean, these teenagers are referencing people like Annette Funicello. Come on, man.
Right? Yeah,
you're like two decades too late, director man. Like, give them something that's a little bit more current, you know?
They definitely felt like they were trying to channel some little bit of Grease in this.
I mean, I was listening to Depeche Mode and REM and, you know, like, this. Their world was not connected to my world. Also, we haven't mentioned this in a while. There is nobody of any race other than white can be in this movie. Nobody.
Yeah, there was one guy dancing.
Kidding. Oh, you're right. There was a dancer. You're right. There was one guy dancing, although he was forced to dance in a way that is contrary to his cultural upbringing.
They were telling him, bring it down. We're going to need you to bring down your level. You're going to need to.
But, you know, we talked about this with Footloose, and I in the late 80s, it was still totally acceptable to people making movies that they would try to make everything in the movie look like the audience they wanted.
Yeah,
and it sucks. Like, damn, there's not a single Hispanic in this entire universe.
The movie is made for the audience. Almost like we were talking about earlier. See, another point of contact for that. See, like what they're doing is going all right. Everyone's white, or maybe this is just a reflection of what directors and producers. Their worldview, you know. And I don't mean it's like some nefarious like we must have the Third Reich, or I don't mean that. I mean like. They look at it and go, well, yeah, it's a bunch of white kids in a high school, like where I live, you know, or something like that. Like they're just not thinking outside of their
Zelda Rubinstein was the most ethnically diverse character they had, I think.
Where's she from?
Oh, Madame Serena. She's
you mean the character? I thought you meant the actress.
The character. Right? Oh, yeah. She had an accent when they first started. I wasn't sure if she was putting on airs. Then when she figured out she was a witch, that she dropped that accent, but in the very beginning, she had a very heavy accent.
In real life, she's from Hobarton, so it's working out. She's a little tiny lady.
She's a little tiny lady from Hobarton.
She's from the Shire, yeah.
By the way, I totally predicted it when she turned when they turned that frog into a dude. And he walked in the room, and she's pontificating about what words he's going to say. I knew he was going to rib it. I just knew it.
Yeah.
No question.
It was so telegraphed in.
Ugh. Hated everything about that.
Ribbit. I wish he had broke out into, hello, my honey. Hello, my baby.
That would have been great. That would be great. Okay, so can we talk about voodoo doll etiquette for a second?
Oh, yes, please.
So the conceit here is that she's not only a witch, but now she can make voodoo dolls, and then she can make her teacher take all his clothes off in class because she's ripping him off the doll, turning him into a pervert, basically. And my question was this. When she goes home and lays it down, her brother finds it, and then the brother throws it down the steps, and then he goes flying down some steps. The mom puts it in the washer. He goes into the car wash, whether he wants to or not.
Yeah.
And walks through it and whatever. That, if you're going to go that far with it and say that it only works because he's near some stairs and it only works because he's near a car wash, right. When she just lays him down or drives him around in the car or puts him upside down in her backpack, all that shit should be happening too.
You're thinking,
we should just be laying down on the ground.
I couldn't get it out of my head the whole time. I'm like, all right, that's not how this works. I understand the idea of poking him and making him hurt. That makes sense to me.
Movies just don't get voodoo dolls right, you know?
Yeah,
right.
Really,
because you
voodoo doll physics.
Once you've established that, you kind of want to see every minute of his day.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like you want to see him stuck sitting in his Barca lounger because she put the doll on a chair.
Right.
And he can't move all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I mean. Lay him down, he has to lay down. If you put him on his face, he's laying on his face. If you put him upside down, he's hanging upside down someplace. And also, if you're going to have him fly down the steps because he flew down some steps, gotcha. One-to-one comparison. If you're putting him in the washer and he's just near a car wash and walks through it, and that's dumb. That's freaking dumb. It's not
It's dumb to your.
I want him spinning around
now. It's not dumb to a 14-year-old.
Oh well, no, I agree with that. No. You're right about that. Like, I'm sure that was really funny at the time. That guy just pissed me off. He irritated the hell out of me. So I was happy to see him get his. Yeah. So it's fine.
He was so over the top too.
But I got to come back to what Brian Ebbett said at the beginning of the show. If you try to put some reality on this, she wreaked havoc on this community.
Oh yeah,
like there. Can you imagine classroom where a teacher started disrobing?
Right. You could remake this movie as a horror film. Like, she makes the kid disappear. She, you know, makes a teacher who's just kind of a dick, but turns him into like a sex offender.
Mm-hmm. This is borderline Carrie. If there had been a tampon scene with the cheerleaders, it would have been all over.
Literally. So, but here's the thing: when she's doing all of the, you know, what you could do was one of those modern remix trailers where somebody adds a bunch of evil music and crossfades and stuff. That would have been cool.
Mm-hmm. So that would be fun.
And by the way, if a bunch of white dudes standing next to a car ever start rapping really loud out in the street. My neighbors and I are going to go beat them in the face.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to get to just stand out there and rap in the street.
You can't stand out in my street and rap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's not allowed.
So I got one of these. I call it a popularity montage. So when she decided to go ahead and go full on witch and be popular, the way they established that the entire community basically worshipped at her feet was through montage, and I really like those. I think that's great. Yeah. Where it's like, look at them all, the two boys helping me at my locker, and I'm getting in the rad car.
Banners, and all doing our hair like Louise.
Yeah. That was the part that actually freaked me out the most, because I'm like, that's like one of those spells that go wrong and suddenly you're molested by the whole football team, because everybody wanted to date her. I mean, even the ladies were showing up at the door going, hey, can we date you as a group?
Yeah, I actually thought that was going to happen. I thought she was going to, I thought there were going to be more hijinks where she uses her power and doesn't realize what she's doing.
Yeah.
And there really weren't. They
actually
were really simple little jokes.
Randy, you bring up a good point. the movie, I don't even know what the ending was. I still don't get it. Like,
it happened so fast.
Did she pull?
Right.
She did she somehow defrock herself from the power, but.
Right. But she got rid of her totem.
I don't get
we're
it.
Spearing this basically. Like, right. like.
Like
I still like
saying that she's like giving up her power, or did she?
Yeah, well, I don't. I mean, I never knew because she's with the dude again. It's all soft lighting, yeah. like the dreams again, and then it just ends. That movie's weird. Ends.
There's no resolution at the end.
Yeah, it's, none. None.
It's just, she does she make this like release the school from their power of worshiping her, or do they?
Or did yeah, she not? Right. Is she still just? Because I think the idea was that oh, now she's not that anymore, and the guy still likes her just because she's her.
I think that's what they wanted.
That's what we'd like the moral of the story to be.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. I think that's what they want us to think, and that's what we want to think. But I mm-hmm. think maybe they did a terrible job, and it's not clear. And right. I think she's basically, there's no resolution. It just ends, and then there's a shit song at the end. It's not a real 80s song. It's just bad. That ending is bad. Like I walked
the ending
away.
is kind of weak because I was shocked that the credits were rolling. I was like, wait, what happened?
Yeah,
she threw the thing.
I was so happy the credits were rolling. I was so mm-hmm. happy.
And mm-hmm. only like 100 and what, like an hour and 30 minutes or something. I mean, it's a pretty short movie.
Yeah, I wish she would have thrown that necklace in the ocean, and then they could have cut to
to Jim old Barry. Louise.
Yeah, yeah
that's right. Right. We could have a movie called Elderly Witch.
Yeah.
Midlife witch.
That's the other thing. Hold on now. There's a really interesting philosophical question around that, Randy, the idea of calling her teen witch.
Yeah.
And why is that? Like, what is it about that is an interesting title and you would never call them mid-40s witch
well, or because
middle-aged witch? Like, you're never going to do
did,
that.
We did have a TV show called 30-something. I think it was just purely based on the fact that there had been a movie called Teen Wolf. That's really... and you had a lot of that kind of thing in the 80s.
It was a transformation movie. Mm-hmm. And those were very popular during the 80s.
Isn't that interesting, though? Because it's almost a derogatory thing to say 30-something because it's like, oh, we're in our 30s now. We're adults. We got a hard shit to do. That's the intent of that title. And here, teen right. witch, teen wolf, teen this, teen vampire, yeah. whatever, mm-hmm. is like, dude, it's like a vampire, like everyone's had for generations, except it's a teenager. Like it's so
you're saying,
weird.
You're saying you would go see you'll go see Twilight, but you wouldn't go see Teen Vampire.
I would not see
that. Would be a pretty stupid title.
I didn't see Twilight.
Teen Vampire.
I saw the first Twilight at the urging of my daughter at the time. I saw the first Twilight, and I could care less about the rest of them. I never saw any of it.
So. I would see a movie called Teen Mummy, though.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Mummy.
Hey,
sounds great.
Is there right. not a thing called Teen Mummy?
No, there should be.
Oh, well, there's like an MTV reality show about
I'm writing it right now.
Pregnant.
Oh, real? Oh, yeah, that's
teen,
right.
That's kind of mummy he's talking about. I think he's talking about the bandages and the hands and the thing.
All right. Wait, is that what was that? Was that a mummy?
Roll with Randy's joke, people. Roll with it.
That's pretty good.
Into the skid.
I love how mummies all make that same sound, Brian Dunaway.
My mummy.
All right. Well, excellent work. I think
I've got sand in my underwear.
Any other thoughts before clips? Anyone have any?
Because I'm writing the Teen Mummy script right now. Hold on a second.
All right.
It should only take you like 5 minutes.
I know I've done this many times on FilmSack, but this is a great example of if you didn't watch the movie, go watch the movie. Like, you just don't understand how bad and simultaneously interesting. Well, I don't want to say good, but it's just interesting to see all of its badness. Like, these clips, you're going to appreciate them so much more if you've seen the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Trust me.
So much fun to watch. I do not regret this being on our slate. Like, maybe...
No, not at all.
Was never bored, was never... I mean, I was annoyed, sometimes cringed, but I was never like... it was never like, man, what a waste of time this has been. Like, I really enjoyed it on the level that we should enjoy things on FilmSec. It was great. And terrible at the same time, which is the perfect thing. It's that perfect thing to be. All right, here's some clips. We got this sweet intro sax. Check this out. Oh, yeah. Makes me want to take a pizza to a lady's house.
Oh, that's what was going on.
Speak out my David Sanborn albums.
We haven't seen that, have we?
What?
The Pizza Lover movie?
Well, we'd have to be a porn,
oh,
wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, the one with McDreamy.
Yeah, McDreamy.
Right, Loverboy.
Loverboy. Oh. Yeah.
Did they have the
no,
song?
No, we have not seen that.
Did they have the song, Loverboy? I'll be your lover.
What, the Billy Ocean?
Yeah, Billy Ocean song.
I don't know if they did or not.
Okay. Wow, the great Billy Ocean. William Ocean, everyone.
William T. Ocean.
Yeah, give it up for William Ocean.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago, but when the saxophone starts playing, you have an expectation as a viewer, and this really doesn't get even close to your expectations.
Oh, yeah, movie. Not even close, but no. There is a moment in this movie. They steal a lot of things. The nerd had the actual Revenge of the Nerds laugh once. The rest of his laughs weren't like it, but the one time he was like, that whole thing, right? And then you had the sexy shirtless, well, not quite sure. I was like, it was a tank top, but it was a sexy long-haired mullet-wearing saxophone guy at the party, like Lost Boys.
Right.
They had a lot of... they had a lot of comparative stuff to other 80s movies. All right, here's a... Oh, I wrote here, 80s Here We Come. So here's this. Holy shit.
Wow.
Okay.
Where's
okay.
Lisa when you need her?
Right? Where's Paula Abdul? Where's...
Yes.
This actually has a little tiny bit of a Miami feeling to it. So Gloria Estefan in there.
Sure.
I love that music that you just played. I freaking love that music.
It is so representative of a time and place. And I like it for what it represents because I lived there. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we knew what we were doing. Yeah.
I'm not gonna you're not gonna find me sitting around the house blasting that by itself individually. It has to be connected to a movie or something like that.
But put on some of those upbeat Gloria Estefan songs next time you're like cleaning house. Trust me. Just trust me.
Come on, baby. I don't even know how the words go. But.
When you, it's funny because, you know, there's always this whole thing of like, oh yeah, 80s music. There's such a big difference between 80 to 85 music and the new wave sound of everything. And then this crap that it all devolved into when you start getting into the late 80s with the ridiculous saxophone and the drum machines and the bass guitars. It was such a... There is such a different 80s music. Once early 80s music, late 80s music, two different
worlds. Once it gets polished in the late 80s, like you do a turd, it gets bad.
So true.
You know, like you do a turd.
Like you do a turd.
Here's the little brother.
Richie, get out of there, you little pinhead.
That's him going, jeez.
Is that where he was trying to?
He was under the bed.
Anyway.
What was he doing down there?
So I guess his whole character was like, all the lines he had were like regurgitations from bad late night TV, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Is that what that was all from?
I don't know. I think Scott's right that the people defining what these kids are saying were just stuck in the 60s.
Yeah.
Right.
Because no one after a certain year, and that year's like 75, would have called someone a pinhead.
Yeah,
no one.
Right. Yeah. No one. That is some old school 63 kind of business. And I think this director or somebody involved with the whole thing was just like, yeah, kids still like that stuff, don't they? Let's go to the bebop.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. Here's, I don't know, something about lips.
He pressed his lips against mine.
Oh, that teacher, dude. He's such an ass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I literally felt hatred for him.
Yeah,
isn't
it's
that
every
what we...
teacher trope too?
Yeah.
Like, please, thank you for gracing us with your presence.
We've all been embarrassed by that professor or teacher who's grabbed a note that you were passing and decides wants to read it in class and just out to get you.
Old man Dunaway, no one passes notes since the invention of the smartphone.
Hey, man.
There hasn't been a note passed in a class.
And it's like, oh, they're passing them. They're just through. They're just through, notes passed. They're just through giant networks of phone systems.
They collect the phones where my kids go. They basically get
do they really?
The phones,
wow.
The phones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you can't
really?
Even they don't can't do bring that stuff in there.
They didn't do that at my school. The kids are all phones all the time.
Well, yeah.
I'm not sure it's a good thing, mind you. I just know they are.
It's weird to think that they're passing notes via a satellite in space.
Yeah. Well, I guess it depends.
Now the professor has to go, what's your unlock code? What is it?
Come on. Hold on. Text messages don't go to a satellite and then back down. That doesn't happen, does it?
They could.
Well, they could.
It could happen.
I suppose they could, yeah.
If they're not on the same network,
under the ocean.
If one of them is AT&T and the other one is Verizon.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we know how text work on this panel.
What's the school's Wi-Fi password?
They all go through the refrigerator. All right, here's this. Cheerleaders, what? Oh, they have a new chair for you. Here you go.
Hey, cheerleaders, I got the new chair. So fab.
It's so fab.
So fab.
Nobody said that in 1989.
Oh, my God.
Nobody.
Nobody said that ever.
Oh, my gosh. So fab.
And the cheer is a freaking I like boys. That has there's no way right. You would cheer
are
that.
Are they really going to be performing that at a football game? Exactly. No,
Scott, are we about to hear I like boys?
No, I didn't capture the song. Okay.
But right. One more thing before we get off that particular scene.
I hated it so
much. The towel dance magic show is actually pretty good.
Nah, yeah. Listen, every time I was looking real close because I'm a guy. And everyone that was in a towel that was supposedly just in the shower or whatever, a bunch of them were like, they'd run past and the air would blow up part of the town. They were all in unitards, every one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's naked.
Damn it.
Yeah, I know. So don't go looking for that, everybody. Don't get your little horny
89. No, but like, you know, Dunaway's whole thing about like, you got the three, wait, there's three sets of legs underneath the towel.
Well, there's only a giant cheerleader. Above
it. Oh, yeah, the big tall cheerleader. How did they actually do her that way?
Cheerleader centipede.
I should not have the cuttlefish. All right. Here is here's Mrs. Krabappel. You may not have noticed, but she was in this.
Yeah, loved her.
She was also on the old Bob Newhart show. She was his secretary. She's fantastic, and she played Krabappel on The Simpsons right up until her death in 2010. She's rad, this Marcia Clark, and here's her.
And for the lead role of Undine.
Oh, what'd I say, Wallace? Yeah, who am I thinking
Marcia
of?
Marcia Clark.
Who am I thinking of?
You're thinking of the defense attorney from the O.J. Simpson trial.
Oops. You're totally right. Thank you. Brian's right, I'm wrong. That was stupid. All right, here we go.
And for the lead role of Undine, Louise Miller.
It's Bart Simpson.
Her voice. Yeah. Her voice is just, it just stirs certain things in my history of watching TV.
Yep.
I was expecting her to be the witch that kind of leads Louise into her arrival.
She was
right?
kind of superfluous.
She does seem like the right casting for just some other witch.
Right, a happier...
And she's the one who... I think there's a lot of hidden witches in this movie. I want to believe there were a lot of hidden witches in this movie that were
trying to make this movie better.
Right. I want to believe that Mom was secretly a witch and that the teacher was secretly a witch and was kind of guiding this whole thing to some...
Sure.
Story pinnacle.
I like that idea too. Later. I like the rapping warlocks. I think those guys were warlocks over there.
Oh, now you are making this movie better. For
yeah, that. Because they got to do the incantations and they could like change it up into a spell. Because spells
are right. And leg of toad.
That is really smart, actually. Right. Let's remake. Let's all sit down and write a new Teen Witch script.
Yeah.
That fixes all of this and makes it so great.
This is me after my order came back from the waitress wrong.
Okay.
There you go. That's it. Okay.
You say that, Randy, but I think some fan fiction for Teen Witch would be amazing.
Oh, man.
Oh, I think it would be awesome. Okay. You could really go someplace.
Just not erotic fan fiction, please.
Right. No slash fiction, please.
Yeah, none of that.
Scott, I've been wanting to ask you this question. You just reminded me. I mean, and you're a person who goes out to eat quite a bit. Do you find recently, over the last few years, that people get things wrong for you more than they used to?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I don't know if I go out that often, but when I do, I guess I maybe on the average, yeah, I guess so.
I've just been noticing this trend. I feel like. I feel like I rarely get precisely what I asked for when I go out to eat, when I go, you know, order food and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it used to be more accurate.
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing. I think that's true. I don't know why that is, but I think there's maybe a trend. There's a few places I can always count on, though. There's a place out here called Cubby's. Absolutely, without question, everything, even when I've been weird about changes, never been a single thing wrong. But now that I think about it, Like even McDonald's the other day forgot something they said they were going to put in there. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it
was. The drive-thru. Oh, the drive-thru.
Yeah.
They see you at the drive-thru. Okay,
yeah,
okay. Just,
yeah, there's your Joe Pesci.
That was a good Joe Pesci, Brian. I liked it. I have a file here called Richie is a Dick. So let's see how that goes.
No one's coming to your sweet 16 party, Louise.
No one's coming to your 16th birthday party, Louise.
I'm so much uglier than my brother, Robert Patrick.
Suck it.
Robert Patrick got all the good looks. All right. Here's what? Only heard of a few of these.
A Roger, a Love One, a joystick, dong, zipper lizard, tally whack, and trouser snake schlong.
Yeah, tally swamp.
I've never heard of a Roger.
He's safe for a song, but I'm going to use him right now.
Have you ever heard the term Roger for penis? I haven't.
I've heard all of those actually.
We all knew that guy in high school, by the way. I can name that guy from my high school class.
I can't.
But
too.
There's no way he was that talented ad lib. No way.
Saying he was waiting. He'd been like writing those down for like a week.
Let's just
say it. I can't wait to name all the Willy names.
I'm gonna go through each one and see if I recognize it.
A Roger.
A Roger. Never heard of it. Okay, next one.
Well, hold on. Because in the UK, you can get a Rogering. Oh, it gave a mighty good Rogering.
Oh, is that a thing? I'd never heard
of
that.
Yeah, so I'd maybe lean okay.
All right,
on
Judge Ibbott is going to allow
check,
that one.
Roger.
I'll allow it.
Okay, all right, this he'll is great. We're going to panel judge next. Every single euphemism.
All right, here's the next one.
Roger, a loved one.
A loved one?
Yeah, I've heard loved wand.
Love wand.
Oh, love wand. Check. I haven't heard that either, but... That sounds like a brand. It sounds like a brand name.
How about a magic stick?
These all sound like brand names for things I'd buy in
harmonica.
Vegas. All right. Here's more. Here's
that
more.
Harmonica.
Let's do the next one.
Joystick.
Okay. Sure.
What do you call it?
Sure.
Joystick.
Joystick. Come on, man. All right. Another one.
Dong.
Okay. Dong. I've heard.
Dong. Yeah. Heard dong.
It's
yeah.
also a form of currency in Vietnam. So that's fine.
If you had never heard any of these, dong would be the most confusing.
That's true.
Because it really doesn't. It doesn't relate to anything.
Right. It has no. Yeah, those other words all have like. Right. Oh, I get it. You know, whatever. But this a dong.
Wand. Oh, sure. It's shaped like a wand. I could see that. Or a joystick. But, oh, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
A dong is a sound that a bell makes. Yeah. Like it's.
Okay. And tolls for thee. All right. Here you go.
Zipper lizard.
Zipper lizard.
And then he's about to say, and then he's in the midst of saying tallywhacker.
I've never heard zipper lizard, but I like it.
I've heard tallywhacker, never zipper lizard.
Yes.
That sounds painful for some reason. And then the rest.
You're going to get a zerpy.
Trouser snake schlong.
Trouser snake schlong.
Yes.
Well, sure, two words. Yeah, two words. Schlong and trouser snake. Those I heard a lot. Although trouser snake, that sounds like something like my dad's uncles would say. Like, I gotta get out the old trouser snake and while I was camping.
That's because you know no one's wore trousers since then.
Yeah. No one uses the T word now. Something with Fred.
That's enough, Fred.
Well, that's because Fred was rapping. Here's
it is enough.
Oh, here's the most weird thing. So I don't know who they were trying to portray him as. He was either a very offensive, sexually crazed pervert, or he was a Revenge of the Nerd nerd, or he was a disappearing guy with glasses in the car. But whatever that guy was supposed to be, they never could decide. And when they first meet him, here's what we hear at the door. What?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he goes from Booger to...
Yeah, he's Booger at first.
Right.
To one of the other nerds, and then eventually one of the jocks. Like,
This is a classic blunder in making teenage movies. They tried to make him every kind of offensive. Instead of just one kind of offensive, he's all the different ways that a blind date could go wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And no one is like that. No one is both Booger and a wannabe rapist and is completely socially awkward at the dance, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. So when someone does this at the door, tell them no thank you and walk away. Not interested.
We don't need any Thin Mints.
Yes. Yeah. Here's his laugh. Oh my gosh. That went on like 6 seconds too long. The entire clip is 6 seconds. Yeah. All right. Want to smoke some weed?
You want to smoke some weed?
Right. Again, you know, wait, what kind of nerd is he that has weed?
Yeah, he's got weed.
You want to smoke some weed?
Weed.
I like how he says weed. All right. I got a clip here of Ibbitt's prom date right before he took her home. Man, it's a treasure trove, these audio clips we get from your mom sends these all to me.
They certainly are, yes.
Here you go. This is that.
You think you're hot stuff because you went to a dance. Dreamer, nobody wants to date you because you're a dog. A dog! A dog!
Now you're a real dog. Right. Get it? Because he was saying, calling her a dog.
The magic trick was the I'm rubber, you're glue.
Yeah.
Right.
Whatever sticks to me makes a poo. All right.
Happens to you. But here's, don't worry, I'll put you in the tub.
I called this one Laffy Time. Oh, it's a little go toward the light, Carol Ann.
Zelda.
Yeah.
That's when she got the money because she was manipulating the teenage witch into basically getting her money. And I kept thinking there's going to be a bigger backstory there. Maybe she betrayed her in 1600s. And I thought there was going to be a lot more coming.
Again, trying to make this movie better.
That clip taken by itself, like just listening to it right now, that made me want to watch Willow. What's up with that?
Oh, that is weird.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a trigger laugh.
Because the old witch, she keeps transforming people and she laugh about it or something when she does.
Oh, I was just kind of making a joke that she's a dwarf.
Well, I like what you're doing there too, but the laughing is what made me think.
Yeah. No, that's what I thought too. That's too funny. All right. Here's the Pee Wee Herman moment. Here you go.
To tell you the truth, Kiki, your voice is lousy. You sound like Pee Wee Herman.
What?
She's right.
Mr. Herman, you have a telephone call at the front desk. Paging Mr. Herman.
It's funny how much they had to drive home the point, both with the money scene and the cheerleaders falling in the pool scene, that, the water will break the spell of...
Right. Of a young teenage spell, yeah.
So why didn't they end the movie with her and the boyfriend out in the rain? And she's like, oh, my God, you still like me for who I am, even though this magic spell is washed off?
But, Brian, stop making the movie better. It's so much better now.
No. What happens is what happens is her little brother shows up. He ends up getting the sprinklers to turn on with his little lighter, and that washes the whole school clean right there in the auditorium. That's what.
Yeah. By the way, that idea that water washes away whatever is just complete and utter bullshit. Second of all, it's a terrible way out. I hate it. It's too easy. Yeah, it really but secondly, is. Brian's right. That's a way better way to end this movie. Way better way is to have the rain and go, wait, you still want to be with me? Yes. Even though the rain has washed, whatever. It fits the movie. Right. Like, that's a better ending. Holy shit. You literally just made it better. We were kidding earlier, but you did.
When we fix this movie, we're going to change literally every jot and tittle in the script.
Yep. This is a recording of me this morning at Whole Foods.
Oh, butt out, bitch.
All right, so that happened.
What? What happened at Whole Foods?
I'm kidding. I didn't actually go there.
Oh, I was hoping you had like a really memorable experience.
No. Actually, the place we go to, because it's closer, is called Sprouts. And
love Sprouts.
Very hip, very hipster there as well. I always hope for a nice hippie experience, but I never come away with anything fun.
Sprouts is like Trader Joe's without the custom, without the house objects.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Sprouts is just like a little Trader Joe's.
I like Sprouts a lot. You can get really, once in a while, you find some incredible deal and like amazing meat there. Anyway.
Meat deals.
Oh, we just stuck a ad lib ad in the middle of film sack. We need to get paid.
This week's sponsored.
Sprouts.
Yeah.
Do you buy Sprouts?
Not a coin was exchanged. All right. Here's something about the juice.
Now just relax and give me the juice.
Oh, yeah. The frog part.
That should have been Scott. That should have been Brian Ibbitt's date.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You're right.
Missed an opportunity there.
Oh,
missed
man.
Missed a chance. You know, I could go edit it in post. Oh, well. all you need to do... What? All right, well, I don't know what this is.
All you need to do is sprinkle this on your bed. Get Brad to sit on it while you say, Lotham Sorceragum Athenora.
She reminds me of something there. What is that?
Yeah. Daffy Duck?
Put him on your bed. No, there's something else. Something.
It does. It does sound like out of context Sesame Street sketch that you're playing. Right. Like that, we're listening to puppets talk tell another puppet how to get their way.
Maybe that's it. Maybe she is. Oh, and have they missed an opportunity? She died at age 70 in like 2013 or something. They missed an opportunity to make a documentary, autobiographical documentary about Zelda. What's her full name? Zelda what?
Rubenstein.
Or
Rubenstein.
And call it The Legend of Zelda.
Oh.
They missed out.
Well, they could still do the biography.
Yeah, but is there anything interesting to talk about? go toward the light and I'm a witch. All right, done. Or I'm a gypsy. She wasn't even a witch, right? She was just a gypsy lady. Wasn't that the deal? She wasn't sure, like, she didn't have any power.
She was a palm reader.
Yeah.
Right. She was a palm reader.
She didn't have any power. She just knew the history of the family line
or
whatever.
She had a little bit of power juice left. She kept in the fridge, apparently, and she was saving it for a special occasion.
Yeah.
So, listen, she was also the voice of Skittles Candies in their Taste the Rainbow ad campaign.
Yeah.
Really?
That's it. Yes. You got it. That's actually what I was trying to think of. She says Taste the Rainbow.
Yeah.
Yes. She right. really
now
does.
Now just relax yeah. and give me the juice.
All right, great.
Give me the juice, yeah.
Wheeze in the juice.
Here's, what? Oh, this fake name.
Armando Legando.
There's no such thing as Armando Legando. There's no way.
Armando Legando.
It makes me want to die to hear that. It's such a stupid thing to do. I understand that she did a nice thing for her teacher and did a little witchery and got the handsome, rich South American drug lord,
most interesting man in the world.
Yeah, that guy. And I get it, and that's nice and all, but could you have called him anything else? Like Felipe Vasquez or a real name?
Armando Legando.
Armando Legando is the best you have.
They didn't have a lot of time.
And then they drove off.
And they didn't have the internet.
They drove off and you heard this. Great. Stereotypes.
Right.
And then the rap. Here's 19 seconds. Enjoy.
I'm king, and they know it. When I snap my fingers, everybody says sure. I'm hot, and you're not. But if you want to hang with me, I'll give it one shot. Top that.
It's such a pile of shit.
Top that.
It's embarrassing.
It's also a self-defeating message. If I have the ultimate message, like if I'm the most powerful speaker, I would never tell you to top that. I would tell you, you can't top that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Good point. If you're the top, if you're the king and you know it and they know it.
Right. Don't even try me.
Yeah.
If you're not, why am I going to give you one shot?
Mm-hmm.
It just made me want to beat them up. Like beat them up. And I'm not a violent guy, but everybody, if I was in that school, I'd be like, guys, after school today, we're beating the shit out of those three chuckleheads.
I know the street where they hang out. No, they just need one of those 2000s tropey buses that come out of nowhere and knock them off screen.
It's so freaking bad. All right. That's that. Now it's this. All right, I got a little list here. This list is the checklist for FilmSack, and it goes like this. Idiot parents that are totally out of it, check. Popularity is not all it's cracked up to be, check. And finally, can't tell where they spent all the money they saved on not using real music, check.
Uh-huh.
Let's do Star Trek connections. We got Dan Gauthier. Is it Fred? Who's the main good-looking dude? What was his name?
Jack? Oh, the...
Her boyfriend.
Right, the
The man.
Dreamboat. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, the Dreamboat man. I'm looking it up.
Him.
Brad. It's always Brad.
Brad, yes.
He played Brad Powell in Star Trek The Next Generation. He played Ensign Sam Lavelle in the episode Lower Decks. He was an ensign. And then Brett Baxter Clark. Oh, by the way, that guy, he's not really doing much and is sort of all crappy, like direct-to-DVD garbage movies and things. But he's a good-looking man. Handsome man. At this stage of his life. Looks all right. Mm-hmm. Brett Baxter Clark. He was a bruiser. I don't know what that means.
A bruiser.
Yeah, somewhere a bruiser in this. In Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, he played one of Khan's crewmen. So one of those hippie dudes in the skins and stuff.
That just stand around and gawk.
Yeah, but I don't know who the bruiser Khan's was in this crewman. Movie. Who would have been the bruiser? Brian Dunaway, look that up on the thing. Find bruiser.
Find a bruiser.
Yeah.
Find us a bruiser.
Because I don't remember any bruisers. Whatever a bruiser
brother?
Is.
Right,
is it
the bruiser? He's the tough.
It sounds like a tough.
Well, yeah, but where was there one?
What tough?
Yeah, what
the
tough?
Well, her love interest was kind of the, I don't know, Rhett kind of could be the tough, even though he was not very tough.
What's his name? Is it
he's the rapper. Rhett.
No, but I
the
mean, rapper. Is it Brett Baxter Clark? Is that his actor? Rhett. Is that the actor?
Oh, the actor's name? Oh, let's see.
You just look him up and see what his...
What was Rhett's name?
Yeah. Brett Baxter Clark says it played a bruiser.
Noah Blake. Okay, so let's just look, Brett.
Noah Blake is the rap guy.
Right.
Rhett.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And he, by
Maybe
the
he was
way,
a dancer because, you know, you got to have the tough and the dancer. I thought the saxophonist was the tough. I was pretty sure he could kick anybody's trash.
Nobody was.
Oh, wow. He's a son of Robert Blake, Beretta.
No way.
Oh, okay. Right.
Noah Blake,
what was
yeah.
his actors? What?
He was what, Rhett. What he was the lead rapper guy is the son Wait, of Beretta. He?
Didn't Beretta yeah. kill, didn't Robert Blake kill his wife or something?
Kill his mm-hmm. that's, yep. that's the story.
And so this
that's
guy's the... mom, oh, geez, it went dark. Everything's dark.
And he's also starring in a sci-fi movie called Piranaconda.
Oh, wow.
Dude. Oh,
wow.
Seriously?
Man. Yes.
Piranaconda?
Piranaconda.
Just imagine when they get around to making
Piranaconda.
When they get around to making Piranaconda NATO, that's going to be something.
Piranaconda Sharkaconda Piranha NATO.
Sharkaconda. Sharkaconda.
Soundtrack grade, I'd give it a GIAIBFTDE, or get it all in before the decade ends is what I'd give it. Let's get to the Twitter post. This is where you guys in 140 characters or less sum up the film. Let's start with Randy. No.
Teen.
Yeah, Randy.
What?
Huh? Sorry, go
yes,
ahead, Randy.
Thank you. Teen witch, it's a bitch when it's worse than you think, so they shoot you out back because your movie stinks. Stop that.
Hashtag top that.
Yeah. All right, and then and you know what messed me up is the order we changed in the beginning. It's totally screwed me up. Right. Brian Dunaway, you're next.
Teen witch, like the DJ at the high school dance telling you to grab your wallets during the slow song. It takes a minute to develop. Oh, condoms. I gotcha.
By the way, the guy running the DJ at the dance?
Middle age.
What the hell, dude?
That yeah. was middle age rug, man.
That was rough.
But he's a radio DJ who came to that school as a favor.
He's wearing mom pants, like, up to his chest. Then finally, Brian Ibbett.
Teen witch. A girl makes a community of mindless drones follow her, act like her, and think that her every move is wonderful. Blah, 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 Kardashian.
Sounds about right. Well, good news. This has just been handed to me. These are the alternate titles. Quote, there was no ending. Or... was there an ending? All right. And then we jump to your emails. Actually, it's a phone call today. You guys can send these phone calls in to us at 801-471-0462. This one is a compliment and a request from a listener. And if I could just find the damn thing. There it is. All right. Check it out.
Hey there. This is Kevin from Michigan. Two things. One's a compliment. The other is a request. This is for FilmSack. Scott, Brian, Randy. The compliment is I think you guys do a wonderful job of making fun of films and being critical of them in a non-pretentious way. And I get that you're reviewing crappy film, but, you actually do it in a very smart way. And it's actually very entertaining and, informative. Second thing, request, could you maybe at the end of the show or dedicate some time in the show to just discussing filmmaking in general, like what the director's job is, how the producers play a role, and just some of the technical stuff behind filmmaking. You guys actually seem like you know a lot, and I think that'd be super interesting. All right, thanks. Bye.
So that's an interesting idea. I don't know if that's like
a... What does a gaffer do? Who's the key grip? Who's the
that's
best
a really
boy?
Good idea. We could yeah, actually like bring like a weekly thing where we just talk about maybe one element of movie making.
Oh, I would think we would just do one show specifically.
Oh, just the whole thing?
Yeah.
Break down the tech specs.
Not do a movie that episode, just do like a, you know, the movie process.
Would it be boring though? Would it be boring?
I think it
would.
That's
what I'm thinking.
Yeah, kind of. All right, never mind.
Especially given that there's so much out there for you to watch. Like there's fiction, there's nonfiction, there's documentaries that all give you such a clear view of how
about
movies
we make
are made.
How about we make a concerted effort during each episode to predict and talk about the major player? So we already kind of do this anyway. Like we'll usually go like, oh, we think this movie was crap or excellent because the director obviously was a standout during this movie.
Sure, or some Randy will go, oh, the director of photography on this is so incredible. He deserves better than this. Like that. This happens right. all the time. Mm-hmm. I do like that sometimes when we do that. So yeah, maybe we make that more, I don't know. We make it more meaningful by looking at that guy or that girl and talk about what they do and why they do it and stuff. Yeah, I'd be all right with that.
I think craft services on this movie must have been great. Look how fat everybody is. It's fantastic.
Best boy connection to Star Trek.
That's right.
I'll bet you there are also other podcasts by people in the business who talk at great length about their experience.
No, but
set.
they're so boring. This is film sack. We're so much fun.
Well, yeah, but that's the point is if we did a whole episode where that's all we did, it would be boring. I think.
Yeah.
But I also like the idea of going a little deeper in some cases, like where it makes sense. Like why is Tim Burton always using Johnny Depp? Well, I found this thing that explains their relationship. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever. You know, like there's ways for us to go a little bit deeper. So yeah, I mean I like the idea of the technical being a little bit more prominent without us losing our thread.
On the weeks where we just kind of when a movie doesn't have any tangible reason for us to like or not like it, sometimes we'll just express our feelings about the movie. And I think that leaves some of the more movie buffs out there kind of maybe a little bit wanting.
Yeah. And I'm going to say, for the record, for this movie, for Teen Witch, I recommend people watch it. I know we've said it a couple times.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Don't not watch it because we've made so much good fun of it. Do it for yourself because it's a blast to just cringe and laugh and wonder and like it's one of those movies that shouldn't feel as fun and whatever as this. It just shouldn't be this way, and it is somehow. Right. So enjoy it. It's way good and bad.
You can skip Sphere, but watch.
Right. Oh my gosh! Yeah, you can skip Sphere. You can read the book, but I'll tell you if you don't do anything else, at least go to YouTube, and Fandango has hooked up with some people to do movie clips. So there's a user group, username called Movie Clips on YouTube. And I watch these all the time because they usually take like 10 scenes from the movies. They got so many of them and they just kind of highlight and hit. And I mean, I don't think you'd be too terribly disappointed if you at least went to YouTube and checked out the 10 hottest clips from Teen Witch.
Oh yeah.
At least get the cliff notes. But yeah, I would watch the whole thing.
Yeah, it's good. It's way fun. It's super dumb and great. So check it out if you will. Nicole will be very happy to hear all this because she's the one that recommended it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. She loved the team.
She loved it growing up. So I think she's worried we're going to fillet it. But I think after she hears this episode, she'll be glad of how we handled it. Also, next week, next movie, The Phantom. Phantom. Yes. Billy Zane.
Billy Zane.
Well, I wish it was Billy D. Williams. That'd be great.
About 6.5 days from now, the last person to ever ask us to sack the Phantom will ask us to sack the Phantom. And then we never have to hear that again.
That's right. We're done with it. And I saw this in the movie theater and remember nothing except for the suit was kind of tight on him. And that's all I remember. So this will be like new for me. I don't know how many of us have seen it, but
Scott, did you just tell us that you were looking at his package?
Big
Is
time.
That what you're saying?
Big time. His big
man wiener.
I prefer moose knuckle is my way of saying it.
It's purple and it's got a little mask on it.
Looks like a little ninja turtle down there.
No, he's got a little his nuts kind of put in the little. Okay, I'll stop now.
Yeah, that's all right. It's okay. Dress up those nuts. Whatever you got to do. But yeah, that's next week. The Phantom. So come on back for that. Get your Billy Zane on. And see what superhero movies used to be like before they got good. or maybe it's good. I don't remember. I really don't remember a thing about it. I remember.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
He was like a hero man and he would jump around and go, yeah. And then that's it. That's all
and
I know.
Purple.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I remember too. So,
yeah.
By the way, I want to make sure that I'm thanking people for sending us requests like The Phantom. I've never seen it. Right. I would have never watched it if not for people asking us to watch this and sack it. Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah, it doesn't jump out as one you'd want to like put on your queue, but then again, it feels even sight unseen, it feels like film sack material.
It was from what I remember, it was kind of like Indiana Jones kind of feel to it, right?
Right, like an older, it's funny. Like this was like such an HBO staple for years that I caught little bits of it. I don't think I've ever seen the whole thing start to finish, so I'm looking forward to it too, but it is like serialized, right.
All right. Well, as the kids say, I can smell you. Okay, you can smell me.
The kids don't say that.
So watch for that next week. In the meantime, filmsack.com is our website. All things lead there, so go there. You can also even leave us voicemails like the one you heard earlier, 801-471-0462. You can email us your thoughts and or attachments to filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at FilmSack, and why don't y'all go out and leave us reviews on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts? It helps us more than you know. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Top that!
You all did the same thing! All yelled top that! This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com. Yes.